Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
I'd say she's honed that talent pretty good. What do you think? Wow. It's interesting. I wanted to do some slides tonight because I think the pictures will help us with some of the things that we're going to be doing. And so let's see if they work. If we can go ahead and try to make that work. And one of the slides I had was that quote that Stephanie just ended with, but I didn't like the slide. It didn't have a good resolution, and I wanted so bad to use that quote, and then I just finally gave up and got rid of it. So that was cool that she gave that quote. We're talking about spiritual gifts. And do you remember as a kid, Christmas morning? Don't we all? I mean, it's like the best of the best. And it's Jesus' birthday, but we get presents too. How cool is that? You know, one of the neatest things about being a Christian and being part of the family of God is that when we become Christians, God gives us gifts. He promises to give us gifts. Ephesians 4, verse 7 and 8 says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive," and get this, "he gave gifts to men." He's given gifts to his body. That was the first thing he did after he rose from the dead. He gave gifts to men, and he's still giving them to his church family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we explore this wonderful subject about spiritual gifts, Lord, it's a subject that is near and dear to every one of us because you want to equip each one of us to serve you more faithfully, more fully, more completely, more fruitfully. And so, Lord, teach us tonight, we pray, through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, understand this. I would be willing to bet money that I'm going to be giving more money than almost any of us in this room. I'm going to be bet money that I'm going to give more information than almost anyone in this room really has at our grasp, okay? I know I'm giving you a lot of information. So I'm hoping you're going to take the scriptures I'm sharing and study them a little more fully if you're interested in knowing more about this subject. I am giving a kind of an overview. There's a whole lot more than I'm able to give you. So if I go pretty quick, don't be frustrated. I'm going quick for everybody. But I think we're going to get the big idea of what God wants. So being part of Jesus's body is to literally use the abilities that he has given us. Okay, this is key, probably more key than anything. It's foundational. Jesus gifts his people so that they can edify, build up, encourage, and strengthen the body of Christ. And that's what we saw just a little bit of in Stephanie's wonderful testimony, an example of that. But it's multiplied billions of times throughout the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." And so it goes on to talk about the body, and the eye cannot say to the ear that it has no need of you. The foot can't say to the toe, you know, or the hand, it has no need of you. We're all part of a body. And he talks about it right from the continuum of a conversation, which we're going to study a little later in this message, of spiritual gifts. It's all in the same chapter. It's part of being part of the body of Christ, being in his family. And I want to share with you some things that really make me sad as a pastor. And one is that many Christians are ignorant of spiritual gifts. It grieves my heart. Because if we're ignorant of spiritual gifts, then we will never achieve the fullness of God's potential, his desire, his call upon our lives. If you don't achieve it, individually, we all suffer as a corporate body uniquely to Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch and the entire body of Christ in our community, state, nation, and throughout the world is all suffering because of it. Each one of us either contribute to the betterment and building up of the body of Christ, or we contribute to the lessening, the weakening, and the pulling down of the body of Christ. Secondly, many Christians have not spent time in prayer, counsel, and in the Word to find their spiritual gift. Do you know at least one gift you have been given as a child of God? Every one of us here, according to the Word, has at least one gift. And I would venture to say many more than one, but at least one gift. Romans 12:6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. We have the gifts. They've been given to us according to God's grace to us, and we are to use them. I was so thrilled. I had someone come in and counsel with me just this week regarding spiritual gifts that God has given to them, and asking questions and trying to discern what God was saying and the right way to really move out in faith, and how the enemy maybe wants to distract them in their ministry calling, and just really getting that good balance and what the Lord would want to do in encouraging them and growing them up in the body of Christ. I wish more people were seeking out counsel on their spiritual gifts. And tonight we're going to have an opportunity. You notice I haven't got the tables up. There's a reason for that. No microphone in the center. So don't try to think of questions you have, because I'm going to tell you, at the end of this message, we all have questions. I haven't read a book that is exhaustive. There is no reference I can give you on spiritual gifts that really does justice to the subject. Chuck Smith's book, Living Water, surprisingly, it really surprised me. It is really, really good, okay? If you want just a good primer, a good solid book on spiritual gifts, get Living Water and the Ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's really an easy read, and it's really got substance, and he gives good examples of the operation of spiritual gifts. I just can't tell you how wonderful that book is. I read it years ago, and I still think it's one of the best books I've ever read on spiritual gifts. But I've never read one that is exhaustive, okay? There's always so much more in this area. So we need to look at ourselves. Could we list our spiritual gifts? How many of us could literally start writing on the paper what our spiritual gifts are? Amen. And we should be able to list them, okay? Now, I'm not saying the ones you want. I'm saying the spiritual gifts we have, because we all have gifts we'd like. Oh, I like, you know, I'd like to be like that person. I wish I could do that. No. What do we have? What has God gifted us to do? Third thing that really grieves me is some Christians try to do things that they're not gifted in. I mean, you know, sometimes you're just not built, equipped to do things that some people want to do. They're just not gifted, and that grieves me. Now, there's times we do things because we just need to get done, and things that need to get done. I need to talk about this, because when you talk about spiritual gifts, we can really go to one extreme or the other. We help where there's a need, okay? And there's a lot of things in ministry and in a church that just require doing it, okay? We just got to do it because it has to be done. But when we are in a ministry that takes a lot of time, a lot of focus, we had better be gifted and equipped and called to that ministry, okay? For instance, what Stephanie is doing on the worship team, that takes a lot of time, and it's all-consuming. If that's not what your gifting is and your calling, you're just going to burn out. You're just going to burn out, and you're going to lose your joy in serving the Lord. So what I'm not saying is, if you're in the nursery once a month holding babies, and you just say, Pastor Steve, I don't know if that's my spiritual gift, holding babies, so I don't know that I want to go in there and hold babies once a month. For Pete's sake, you don't need to have a spiritual gift of holding babies to hold babies for once a month. That's just part of being part of the body of Christ, just serving where there's a need. I needed to say that because I knew my son's in here, and I knew when we went home, he would probably say to me, Dad, you know, I don't think I have the spiritual gift of emptying trash every day, so I'd like to get out of that duty, you know? There's just part of things we do as the body of Christ that just need to be done. But I'm talking a ministry that you're involved in, like Jess on sound, that's another one, you know, and elders and elders' wives and church secretaries. I mean, there's a lot of things that are all consuming. You better be gifted and you better be called to those ministries or you're just going to get burned out. It may surprise you to know that my gift, my ministry rather, when I was in Bible school, for the whole time I was in Bible school in my local church, my ministry was holding babies, 0 to 6 months. That's the baby ministry I had. Do I have the gift of holding babies? No, I don't have the gift of holding babies. But that's where I served. I just wanted to serve wherever there was a need. They told me there was a need there. Now, I had done a whole lot of other stuff, but that's where there was a need. I said, I'll be there. And so I was there every week holding those babies, one on each knee sometimes. It was fun. So how do we discover our spiritual gifts? Let's explore that because that's really an important question, isn't it? First, God will often guide us through our inward desires. God's not necessarily going to give you spiritual gifts that are really out of whack with what isn't already innate in there. Why, how do I know that? Philippians 2, 12 through 13 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but also now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God puts desires in us, and he does that for a reason. It's to do his will. It's to do those things that please him. So he's going to gift us according to the desires that he's put in our heart. Those desires need giftings to be able to operate and practically serve him in. Secondly, what are we already talented in? Let's look at that. Where is our talent already? Now, it doesn't all have to be fully developed, but we might already have a talent that God wants to gift us in. And the example is Exodus chapter 35, where Moses had God say to him that he's called a certain man, Beelzebul, by name, and he says, I've filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding, knowledge, all workmanship, designing artistic works and working gold, silver, bronze, and cutting jewels and carving wood and in all manner of artistic workmanship. And I put in his heart the ability to teach. Do you think this guy just never did anything with his hands? No, he was already a craftsman, but God anointed him supernaturally to do the work of the ministry he called him to do, and that was to help gather a team that would assemble and build the tabernacle and all the articles in that. It's kind of like what Stephanie shared in her testimony. She already had a God-given ability to sing. And she had this this heart and this desire in her heart to do music and to sing for Jesus. And then what did God do? He anointed her to serve him in the way that he was calling her. And so he still does that today. The third thing, and this is interesting because I look at our church in America and we are so individualistic, aren't we? We are so independent that we have forgotten a very important principle in the body of Christ, and that is submission to authority. It doesn't sell well in the American mindset and, unfortunately, American church. So I've actually put a few scriptures in there just for those of you that may want to look at them, but we're only going to read one from Acts chapter 13. But the third one is, often God guides us through church leadership. Through church leadership. That's why he's placed leaders in the church. Acts chapter 13, it says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Okay, these are fivefold ministry gifts, and we're going to get into that later in the message. Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Menem, who are now brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, so there's a prophecy that's come forth now through this leadership, through the prophets and the teachers, said, separate now to me Barnabas and Saul for what? For the work which I have called for them. So how did Paul discover like his gifts, his calling? He discovered it through submitting to leadership in the church. The Apostle Paul, for Pete's sake, okay? He submitted to leadership in his church, and the leadership in the church gave him direction. This is the guy that talked to Jesus, right? Face to face. This is the same one that went to the third heaven, for Pete's sake. This is the Apostle Paul, but he still was under church leadership, and God blessed him there, spoke to him there, gifted him there, anointed him there, and directed him there. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? So God will probably direct us in ways that already our hearts are leaning for. And I have the sense, it doesn't say this, but I have the sense that Paul was probably seeking the Lord, probably asking the Lord, you know, feeling prompted. I don't think this was a surprise to Paul and Barnabas. I think they were laying it out to the Lord. Lord, if you want us to do such and such, if you want us to go here or there, just let us know. How did he decide to let him know? Through the church leadership. Isn't that fun? Has God put anything in your heart? That's what we need to look at. Look at those things that God has put in our heart. Because it's important, because as we discern that, they're like stepping stones along the path that God has directed for us. A great example, and I knew Mike wasn't going to be here, so I can pick on him and embarrass him a little bit. Don't tell him, though. And he probably won't get the CD, so he'll never know anyway. But, you know, Tim Holman, many of you know that Tim Holman went to U-Turn for Christ a few months ago. But Mike is a great example of this exact principle of God guiding through leadership in the church and what's already in your heart. Because Mike has probably been he's the point man. He's the one I asked to kind of coordinate and spearhead this ministry with Tim and all of us and visiting and, oh, gosh, so many things. But what's been so fun is when I've gone out with Mike to visit Tim, and you have too, and to watch Mike when he's there. He's like a fish in water. These guys are like pulled to him and drawn to him. He's like a magnet. Everywhere he goes, he's talking with people and just ministering to them. It's just so fun to see this happen. So Mike and I were searching for a ministry for kind of phase two for Tim, and he was praying about it, and we were like thinking, okay, if he comes back here, what are we going to do? What do we have around in the area? So we found this ministry down in Dana Point area, San Clemente, and named Joshua House. And so we went down and talked to him and whatnot. Lo and behold, guess what Mike's doing every Tuesday morning? He's doing a Bible study at Joshua House, for Pete's sake. What's happened is God has been guiding him as this desire in his heart as he's just put himself out to the Lord. And so what's happened through this, Tim going to U-Turn, Mike getting involved in that, then going down here to San Clemente and ministering, just being available, just being, you know, serving the Lord. Now this desire in his heart is brewing. It's growing. And he's like, I have this passion for people that are struggling with addictions, for them to just be finding their freedom in Christ Jesus. And so God is using the things that Mike's already good in and gifted in, okay? He already has training and gifting in helping people work through addictions. Mike had to work through his own addictions, okay? So he's already there. He's working through it. God's drawing this passion in him. And guess what? So God now is opening his eyes, and he's like, there's people in this community that they need help. I wonder if we could start a recovery ministry at our church. Now get this. 3 weeks before Mike comes to me and asks me that question, I'm seeking the Lord in prayer, and the Lord starts putting on my heart a burden to see a recovery ministry in our church, okay? We've never had a recovery ministry. I don't have a call to people in recovery, But I'm sensing like the Lord wants to do this. And then he comes to me and talks to me about that. Is that like not the coolest thing? And then he comes to the leadership and he says, you know, here's what I'd like to do. And I'd like to have a real Bible-based recovery. It's called One Step to Freedom that Calvary Costa Mesa is using. And he says, you know, there's recovery ministries out there. They're doing the 12 steps. This is a little different. It's more of a Bible discipleship. It's really about discipleship in the Word. And he says, I don't see that really happening. It's kind of a unique area that we could maybe fill in the community. I said, that's exactly what the Lord's been putting in my heart to see happen here. Let's talk to the leadership. We brought it before the leadership, and the leadership gave him some wisdom on guidelines and also timing to start it. So September 8th, we're going to start and birth a recovery ministry on our little church. Is that like the neatest thing? And there's more information to follow. We'll give you some stuff on that. So be praying about that. But it's a great example because it shows us that just being available, just starting to see God use and just testing the waters and letting God use you, he can grow you into things. Now, it may not happen that fast and dramatic all the time, but it's a great example of how God does these things. And just like Stephanie shared some examples in her ministry the same way. Next, we need to talk about examining our motives. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I'll let you self, teach yourself regarding this. I've got some scriptures there, but it talks about we can't have envy or self-seeking because then confusion comes. So when we talk about spiritual gifts and ministries, a lot of times the enemy wants to rear up in our flesh and think, why is that person doing that? Then that person's not fully got their act together enough to do this, that, and the other thing. And we start to envy, we start to self-seek, we start to judge. That really quenches spiritual gifts. Amen? And you know what? Sometimes you don't have the same spiritual gifts other people have. And you start to think, well, I'm going to go do this, but you're not really gifted in it. Do you remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5? Yeah, they didn't have the spiritual gift of giving. They didn't. But they wanted to, and they thought they were, you know, they were trying in their flesh. Didn't work out so well, did it? Well, how many times do we get ourselves in things where we're trying to do things in our flesh, and I don't really have that spiritual gift? So let's look at three important things, and and I want you to pay close attention to these next three things, because if you're here and you are seeking God's concerning spiritual gifts, you're saying, Lord, I want to be used more in the area of spiritual gifts. These three things are really important. The first one, present yourself to God. It's important. You're not going to he's not going to just throw gifts in your face so that you can just let them fall on the ground and leave them unwrapped. We need to present ourselves to God, body, mind, and will. Romans 12, 1 and 2, present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. Secondly, stay humble as you serve the Lord. We need to stay humble in these things. Sometimes people, and this fortunately doesn't happen too often in Calvary Chapel churches, but in hyper-Pentecostal churches, it can happen where people just get all haughty. I've got this gift, and I've got this title, and da-da-da. And when we think of ourselves more highly than we ought, it just kills the gifts of God. Amen? Thirdly, recognize and value those with gifts which are different than your own. Recognize them, value them. And I think as we value one another's gifts, that's all part of the body. That's why I started with that very point at the very beginning. It's part of body ministry. It's when I recognize that my wife or, you know, Stardad over there or Richard over there or Andy there, they have value that's just as significant as what I can bring to the body of Christ because they're gifted in unique ways to serve the Lord that I can't serve him in. When I recognize that in them, then I'm encouraging them, and guess what? They're encouraging me, and the body of Christ grows and develops and matures. Amen? So recognize value. We each have gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. It's unique. So all the gifts are given to benefit and edify one another. Now, we're all really going to be happy about this next point. Did you know that God actually loves fat people? He does. He does. He's in love with fat people. God is actually looking for fat people. Okay? How many of you can say, I'm glad and here I am, Lord, choose me? Yeah. His eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth, it says, looking for those whose heart is loyal to him. So there's an acronym we used to say a lot of times about fat people, okay? Fat, F, faithful. You have to be faithful to the Lord, willing to follow him, serve him, surrendering yourself, presenting yourself to him, faithful. A, available. So many people just are so occupied with the things of the world and pursuing that direction that they're not available to be used by God. Now, I understand there's times when we have to focus on stuff over here, okay? But, you know, when that goes on year after year, what are we doing with our lives, okay? We're either serving the Lord or we're just serving ourselves and the stupid things of this world. We have to make ourselves available, okay? And then third is teachable or trainable. Teachable. You have to be teachable. If you're not submitted and humble, you're going to be a mess with spiritual gifts. And I don't think you're going to grow in spiritual gifts, and the body isn't going to grow. So let's talk about the groupings of spiritual gifts and kind of get into the nuts and bolts of some of them. You might want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I know I've run through a lot of scriptures, and I haven't even had time to quote them all. Like I said, you're going to have to go back and read them. And there's other lists of spiritual gifts that I'm not quoting, but they're in the chapters that I've referenced in your notes. So if you read the whole chapters, 1 Corinthians 12 particularly, and Romans 12, those are the key ones, you're going to see other gifts that I'm not even going to reference. And I think there's other gifts than those that are actually referenced in the Bible. I think the Holy Spirit is bigger and more diverse. It talks about the manifold gifting of God. It's multifaceted. It's bigger than all the little definitions and lists that we have in the Bible. But 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 goes to say this. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, you notice the Trinity in those verses. Spirit, Jesus, the Son, Lord, and then God the Father. And there are three different kind of groupings of giftings. The first one is diversity of gifts. And that word gifts is charisma. It means grace, undeserved favor, a free gift, a spiritual endowment. It means there's nothing you can do to earn it, okay? You don't, like, get it if you, you know, serve the Lord for 20 years and, you know, you get this merit badge like you're in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. It's just he gives it according to what he's called you to. And so it's a spiritual endowment. And let's go through them. They're found in the next verses, 1 Corinthians 12, 8. For to one is given a word of wisdom. It's a word of wisdom. It's not all wisdom. It's just a word of wisdom. And it's a word that God gives to someone at the right time that has the right, that knows what to do with the information. Okay, it has wisdom to know, okay, here's what we need to do in the future. We have this information. What do we do with it? It's a word of wisdom. And another, like I said, Chuck Smith's book, Living Water, goes into these really in detail and has wonderful examples, and I don't have enough time. Another, a word of knowledge. It's a word of knowledge. It's supernatural knowledge that God gives to a person that they wouldn't know otherwise. But it's not all knowledge. They can't read your mail. I used to think people had the gift of word of knowledge would know every one of my sins and everything going on in my life, everything I did that week, what I ate for breakfast. No, no, no. It's just a word. It's what God wants to give them to know so that they might minister to us more fruitfully. To another, faith. This is not just a simple faith. This is a supernatural faith, okay? It's something beyond. It's something that has faith in the face of adversity, in the face of overwhelming circumstances. Melissa's testimony is a great example of the gift of faith, okay? We have other people in this body with the gift of faith as well. But, you know, when it looked like Raya was going to die, Melissa literally had this incredible faith in God that it was totally the Lord. It's a gift of faith. To another, gifts of healings. Now, this is not the gift of healing. It's gifts of healings. What that means is, I think, personally, and what I've experienced is, there are people that just have faith and gifts to minister to certain people specifically. Like, they really have a ministry to people that have cancer, that they really can believe God, that God is going to heal people with cancer. For other people, it's like, oh, I can't believe that. But I can believe God to heal people when I pray for their back. And so it's important when, and it usually happens when God does that in you, okay? God healed me in this way, and oftentimes he'll give you that gift of faith to pray for people to be healed in that specific area that you were healed in as well. Not all the time. So they're gifts of healings. There's a variety of them, and there's a variety of healings we need. Amen? The working of miracles, I think that's self-explanatory. To another, prophecy, that's speaking forth those things that God wants to have spoken into the future and to bring forth the word of God to people. Then discerning of spirits. I need to say this. It's spirits plural, okay? So there's different types of evil spirits and there's good spirits. So a discerner of spirits will discern, is this from God? If it's not from God, is this deception? Is this lies? Is this person has a spirit of such and such? And also, if you have that gift, you should be discerning good spirits too. You shouldn't be just discerning evil spirits because it's good and evil spirits. You should kind of see and discern them. Both. Sometimes you'll literally see them. Sometimes you'll discern them. You'll feel them. You'll sense them. You just know. Another, different kinds of tongues. And again, it's different kinds of tongues. People say, well, you know, when somebody speaks in tongue, it's got to be interpreted. Well, that's true if it's a prophecy in tongue. But there's prayer language in tongues. There's singing in tongues. Paul says, I'll sing with tongues, and when I speak with another tongue, I speak not to men, but to God. What kind of tongue is that? That's our prayer language, or just our personal prayer language. So there's differing kinds of tongues. I talked to someone recently about a tongue of intercession, where there's actually a different prayer language when you get into deep, deep gut agony intercession. It's a different kind of tongue. So there's different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. It doesn't mean translation of tongues. So sometimes you'll hear a message maybe in tongues that goes for 30 seconds and the interpretation lasts, you know, 5 seconds. Or maybe it can be the other way around. It's just an interpretation. This is kind of what it means. It's not a word for word translation. So don't, a lot of people, when they hear a message in tongues, if you're in an environment where you hear that, people are like, okay, I counted 28 seconds. So the interpretation should be just about that same, or it couldn't be from God. No, it's an interpretation, not a translation. Okay, let's get to difference of ministries. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these because we've talked about them, and these are more fivefold ministry gifts, but I will define them a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4, these are gifts as well. These are gifts to the body of Christ. And you know, a lot of times we look at these gifts and we don't acknowledge the value. They are precious to the body of Christ, fivefold ministry gifts. And some people have just been burnt out on fivefold ministry, and there's been excesses and extremes. Believe me, I understand it. I've painfully walked through it with you if you've had that in your life. But these are still valuable gifts, and they're given for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And they're giving, it says, until we all come into the unity of Christ, or faith rather, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. So these fivefold ministry gifts have not passed away. Okay, none of them have. Not one of them, not all five of them, none of them have. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Let's talk about them. Excuse me. Because we're kind of afraid of that word apostle, okay? Because a lot of people have taken that upon themselves and said, I'm the apostle of such and such and da-da-da. But there are apostles today. It says they're going to be here. The problem is when somebody says apostle, it gets very authoritative. But I think the best example of an apostle is Juan Domingo. And if you know a little bit of Juan Domingo and his ministry, Juan Domingo went down to Mexico more than 30 years ago, didn't even know Spanish, just felt God called him down there, went to Mexico City, planted a church. Went to Cuernavaca, planted a church. Went to Querétaro, planted a church. Went to Ensenada, planted a church. He's planted several churches, 4 or 5 churches. He personally has planted, then turned them over to another pastor. He still has oversight over some of them. Others have separated and gone on, and they're doing their own thing. God bless him. He doesn't try to hold on to them or or force them. It's when he turns them over to a pastor, if they want to stay in relationship and fellowship with him, great. If they don't, God bless you. That's fine. We're all serving the body of Christ. We're all part of the body. He's also got other churches that have come under him because he, long time ago, filed for a denominational status of Horizonte Ministries. It's actually technically in Mexico looked upon as a denomination. So in order to have certain privileges in the government, it's beneficial for an independent church to come under his, quote, denomination, because it gives them some sort of privilege governmentally. So he has like 50, 60, 70, I don't know what the count is now, churches underneath him, and he actually goes and does little conferences once a year, okay? If they have a problem, they contact him. There's no heavy oversight or there's no sort of control, but he is apostolic because he's planted churches and still oversees those churches he's planted, and even others, oversees other churches that have come into relationship with him. He's an apostle. But he won't take that title. If you try to tell him, oh, you're an apostle, No. He always puts out. Prophets, there's still prophets today, people that have a gift of prophecy that God uses them to speak forth the word of God to people. And that, by that I mean supernatural. I don't mean just teaching. Evangelists, okay, people, there's some people, I had a pastor once that if he got up and said, Mary had a little lamb whose fleece is white as snow, who wants to receive Jesus? He'd have the altar full, okay? If I got up and said, Mary had a little lamb, you know, people would go home and say, what was that about? It's just some people have a gift. They just have that gift. And Bob Coy is another one. He's amazing. Obviously, Greg Laurie. Pastors. There's people that are just shepherds. They're pastoring. And obviously, that's my gift, okay? Not because I'm Pastor Steve. There's a lot of people that are called pastor that are not gifted as pastor. But it was funny. I mean, I was leading a street witnessing team, for Pete's sake. We're going out evangelizing every Friday night. I'm pastoring them. I'm counseling them. At other times during the week, I'm teaching them every week as they get to, I got to teach them. I got to share with them a little teaching. I'm praying for. I've realized I was pastoring that group before I was pastor. It was so funny. And every group I'm in, I'm just like that. It's just part of who I am. Okay, it's pastoring, shepherding, teachers. There's just people that are teachers. They have the gift of getting information. They love it and they teach it. Let's get into diversities of activities. Because that's actually why you have all these wonderful pictures up here tonight. Because this is one of the most fascinating, I've saved this for last, doesn't take too long, but this is one of the most fascinating aspects, I think, of spiritual gifts, okay? This diversity of activities. Activities means this, how God uniquely wants to use the gift that he's given to you through you. Okay, because you are unique, and the gifts that God gives, it may be a gift of encouragement, it could be a gift of healing or whatever, a gift of worship, but it's going to be unique in the way God uses it through the individual vessel. He uses our personality. He uses our faith level. That's important to know, because if your faith is not strong, you're not going to be moving and stepping out in your gifting as you could and should. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. He uses your talents that he's given to you. He even uses your learning styles. And we talked about that in our meeting this morning. Brent and I and others had a meeting with some people, and Brent shared with them some of his learning styles and what God has taught him and how God kind of uses his learning style as a way of using the gifts that God's given to him. So he uses all these things, gifting, the ministry, excuse me, the operation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit flows through the uniqueness of who we are. Okay, so some people are really flamboyant and some people are real quiet and shy. They could have the same exact gift, but it's going to be demonstrated and look very differently in those two different personalities and, like I said, faith level, talents, and learning styles. So let's turn to Romans chapter 12, and it says this, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So these are given according to grace, and we talked about that already. If prophecy, let us prophesy. Look at in proportion to our faith. See how faith is integral in operation of gift? If ministry, let us use it in our ministering. So use the gifting in the way you serve. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in the exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So while I believe, and I do believe, let me say this, get this point. I believe that these lists of gifts are unique individual gifts. So you can have a gift of giving, okay? Some people do, okay? I heard of a pastor that got up and shared with his church, hey, look, we're behind $50,000 this year, la, 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 la. And somebody after service walked up to him and says, Pastor, you need $50,000? I got $50,000. I'll give you $50,000. Does the guy have the gift of giving? He does. Why isn't he coming to our church? That's what I want to know. So, seriously, we do have people with the gift of giving. We just don't have people with the gift of giving to have $50,000 to give. So, I mean, people just have the gift of giving. And these other ministries, mercy, these are gifts. They're a unique gift. But here's the other thing, and this is what I want to kind of explore with you in the last few minutes here tonight. The idea that these are grace gifts, or some people have called them motive gifts. Now, this is just an idea. It's kind of a way to look at things, and I like it. I kind of think there's substance to this. When you get into the area of spiritual gifts, by the way, there's no manual that says this is exactly, like I said, there's no book I've read that just has it all figured out, okay? So this is something interesting. So what the idea is that there's this God-given grid that's within each one of us, okay? So each one of us have this kind of grid or grace or motive that's built into the fabric of who we are. And it's talked about here. And it's through that grid that all the other aspects of our giftings flow through this grid. And it's very interesting to me. So people call these the motive gifts. So I'm going to give you a story, and I wish I could tell you that I thought of this story. I didn't. I read it in a book somewhere years ago. It has stuck with me because I have seen it so well illustrated in so many people's lives, including my own. I see me there very clearly. So we're going to take this illustration of a cake. Now, we're all at a birthday party. You know whose birthday it is? It's Suzette's birthday, because this little girl looks like Sydney, her granddaughter, if anybody's ever seen Sydney. Now, Sydney's grown up a little bit more than this little girl, but as I looked at her, I went, that is Sydney. It's like amazing. So it's Suzette's birthday, and we've got candles on the cake. I'm not going to tell you how many. And Sydney, we've given Sydney the job to take the cake with the candles. They're all on fire and ablaze, and we're all singing happy birthday. And little Sydney's coming out of the kitchen, and she is bringing this cake in front of Suzette so that she can present this cake to Suzette. And lo and behold, little Sydney trips and falls, and the cake is all over the floor. She drops that cake. Now, we're all at the party. There's different things that happen in every one of us, and we're going to talk about that, okay? There's people that have the gift of prophecy, okay? So the prophecy people already looked at the situation. When I gave Sydney the job to take the cake out, they looked at it and said, Steve, you idiot. You're giving a five-year-old girl a birthday cake that big, and she's going to bring it out. You are looking for disaster, okay? This is a prophecy person, okay? They can look at the situation, and they already can see the difficulties, okay? I got to figure it out. This is not a good idea. This got potential for disaster. That's prophecy. But there's also people that are ministry gifts, okay? That ministry in Romans 12 just means service. If you have the gift of ministry or service, then serve, okay? These are the people that right away, they're right there at the cake, and they're cleaning it up. They've run and gotten paper towels. They're over there. Somebody else has got a mop and a bucket and the trash can, and they are cleaning it all up. Those are the ministry people. You, like I said, find yourself in the illustration. You will see yourself there. It's really powerful. There's other people that have a gift of teaching. Now, these are the people that want to take little Sydney aside, and they want to teach her how she can do that the next time and not make the same mistake, okay? So they want to give her instruction on how to prevent this problem in the future and how to be the greatest cakewalker, deliverer of birthday cake in the world, okay? So they're going to teach them and just get into all the, you know, you see the lip on the carpet. If you'd have just lifted your foot just a little higher, you wouldn't. And, you know, when you're carrying the cake, look down between you and the cake so you watch your feet. Don't just look ahead. And, you know, they're the teachers, okay? Then there's the exhorter. Nobody really likes this one. But you're there anyway. If you're an exhorter, you're an exhorter. We don't like that picture. Let's get this one instead. Do we know this one? Okay. So this is, the exhortation is the one that literally saw it happen and they said, "Watch out!" And it was too late because it was already happening. They're the exhorter. But you know, we need these people because they are the ones that when there is a problem, when there's an injustice that takes place, the exhorter is the one that will get out and say, "That's wrong, that needs to change," or whatever, where the other people are back in the background and they're not going to say anything, they don't want to rock the boat. But the exhorters make things change or bring warning to the body of Christ. Then there's the givers. They're the ones that say, "Look, no problem, don't worry about it. I'm going to run to the store and I'm going to buy another birthday cake. I'm going to fix this. I've got the cash. It's not a problem. Easy to fix." Then there's the leadership. And the leadership one is the organizer that's organizing all the other gifts and ministries. And they're like saying, "Okay, you do this over here. Okay, yeah, go get it. We need this over here," and da-da-da. And they're organizing all these gifts. "You shut up, exhorter. We already heard from you." You know, they're leading the gifts, okay? And oftentimes the leader's just doing that. They're not doing anything else but just kind of leading. But we need somebody kind of to coordinate things. So they're kind of the ones that just jump in there and start coordinating. Then there's the mercy people, right? That's our last gift. This is the one we love, Mercy. She's got her arms around this little girl because Sydney's just standing there crying. She's just bawling. So the exhorter's saying, "You know, I told you to watch out. The teachers want to teach her how to do it. The ministry people are cleaning up the mess. And all these other ministries are working, and the giver's already gone out for the new cake. And the mercy is literally wrapping their arms around this little girl as she is just crying. And then these ministry people, they get us all feeling guilty, and then they got us all doing this group hug together, right? So we're all just hugging each other, and you know, it makes it all okay. So this is a very important thing because, like I said, spiritual gifts minister out of who we are. And I like this idea of motive gifts because I think even if this listing isn't quite right or whatever, if we want to say that, it doesn't say all this. But it does say that there's these differing activities and differing ways that God works. And I believe he does that through the fabric of who we are. And so let's look at what could possibly be the best gift, okay? Let's look at that, because, I mean, don't you want the best gift? I want the best gift. So what would we think would be the best gift? And, of course, we all kind of think, oh, the best gift is, you know, the gift of love. But that's not a gift. That's a fruit. Love is not a gift. You will never find anywhere in the Bible where it says, you know, the gift of love. We all have the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love. So the best gift is not love. And I know some people erroneously say that. The best gift, I believe, is the one that's needed at that time. And you know what? If you need the gift of giving, then we need people to have the gift of giving when there's a financial need. When there's a need for healing, we need people with the gift of healing. We don't need the people with the gift of giving because money ain't going to fix this problem over here. We need the gift of miracles when we have something that is so beyond us, like little Raya. We need a gift of miracles, you know? So the best gift is the one that's needed at the time. So you may have a great gift, but if it's not needed at the time, it's not the best gift for that time. Amen? So I want to take some time as we close here. Like I said, I knew we weren't going to have time for question and answers, but we do have some time for ministry if you want to stay. So the leadership is going to stay, and we're going to pray for people that God would minister to them. Now, how many of you know what 2 Timothy 1:7 says? Anybody know? Just raise your hand if you know. 2 Timothy 1:7. Come on, some of you know. You know what it says, you just don't know the reference, you don't know the address. 2 Timothy 1:7. I'll start you out. For God has not love, joy, peace. Where did you get that, brother? Love, power, and a sound mind, right? We all kind of know that, don't we? Well, you're not even going to know what 2 Timothy 1:6 is, the verse right before that, if you don't even know what 7 is. So turn there. Turn there, 2 Timothy 1:6, because it's with those words that the Apostle Paul is exhorting Timothy that he actually says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, power, and a sound mind. It says, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, the Apostle Paul's hands. There's something that happens that God has given to the gift of leadership that he actually honors that laying on of hands and impartation of spiritual gifts. And we have a fear of spiritual gifts, and there's a fear in the body, and it's so tragic because the body is losing out and missing out because of it. So we're going to divide, my leadership team is going to divide up into two different groups. And we're going to lay hands on people if you want prayer. If you don't want prayer, that's fine. We understand that. You can stay and just worship. Stephanie might be playing and singing some soft song in the background. You can leave and go into the kitchen. Try to be a little quiet so we can minister in here. But three types of people I'd like to pray for. One is people that say, I want to just present myself to God. I just hear. I want to present myself to God. I realize I'm not really being used by the Lord. And Lord, I just want you to use me. So that's one. Secondly, there are people here that you may know of a ministry God's called you into, or you may have a ministry God's called you into, and you're saying, you know what? I am way not equipped for this ministry, and I really need to ask the Lord to gift me and equip me for this ministry, okay? So if that's you and you'd like prayer for that, we will pray for you. And thirdly, there are some here that you have been given a gift. You know, God's already given it to you. It was years ago, just like what he gave to Stephanie, and your testimony was so perfect for this message. It was just, I mean, there's so many illustrations. I could just use her testimony for illustrations throughout the whole message. But she had been given what? The gift of worship and singing. It got quenched. It was laid dormant, left to waste. And God may want to, like the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, stir up that gift. And so you might have been given a gift by God, and yet you kind of just put it on the shelf. It may have been a hurtful experience. You know, you stepped out in prophecy, and whoops, I got shut down and slammed. I'm not going to do that again. And, you know, you come here tonight, and you go, you know what, Pastor? I realize the body of Christ needs me. And if God wants to do that, have him stir it up in me, because I've just let that kind of die. It's flickered out and dormant in my life. I believe the gifts and calling of God without repentance. So once he gives us a gift, if we see that it's a gift that he's given to us, like for me, Pastor, okay, it's just my gift. It's who I am. It's in my DNA. And there's other people that just have it. They have that gift. It's a gift in you. Might be a gift of prayer. It could be a gift of ministry and serving. It's just in you. But sometimes we let it go dormant. We get sidetracked, and you want that stirred up. So that's what we want to pray for tonight. And so we're going to close. And if you like prayer, our ministry teams are going to be here, and we'll just pray as long as you want to stay. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this nighting, for this teaching, and for, Lord, the precious Holy Spirit. It isn't us that imparts ministry gifts. We just pray in obedience to your word as leaders of this church. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit, he is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. Lord, that he would come and minister. Minister to your people, Lord, this night. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.